B-Pod Studios.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Touch or Nuts on 95, the Sports Hub.
This what y'all wanted for 98 miles? All right, man, you got it. Hey, well, listen, man, I'm only give y'all a little bit, you know what I mean? Check me out. Let me give off the 98.5. You could have done better behind the wise guy. Touch and Rich will give you good sports, but your hip game suck and you ugly as f***. Touch it look like Al Bundy on crap, while Rich look like you been banged from the back. I got a new name for you. I bet you like that. It's the Lil Sloan Pack. Can you imitate that? Ha ha. I bet you like that. Strip club on the way. Wall dick, where you at? 898 miles, man. Y'all sure y'all want me to do this, man?
What about Tony Mack?
Let me get something straight. Tony, I heard you was gay.
Word trans next.
That can't be so. Mark Debuchin is the one that told me so. Ha ha.
Mike Felger.
On the pretty ass guy. I heard you was Tom Dick Jacket. Tell me now. Ha ha. I got a couple more people I could get, man. But you know what I mean? I'm going to leave it at this. I did this for y'all. All right? Wall Dick, where you at? Check me out.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich Brandon Merriweather is brought to you this morning by DN Van Lines. DN Van Lines is the moving company who knows your playbook, audibles around your schedule, and does their job. An approved mover of the DOD, 851-MOVER, dnvanlines.com on the Volkswagen Experts Hotline. It is the one and only Brandon Merriweather. Hello, Brandon.
What's good? Y'all, what's good?
It's all good, baby.
What happened yesterday morning there, Brandon?
Man, I had my son all week, man, and I can't even lie to you, man. I forgot yesterday was Monday.
That must be a wonderful life.
Jeez.
And not know what day of the week it is. That's fantastic. That is a man who's living right. I got to tell you right there. All right. It's all good, baby. Here's the thing is that you heard the big story there about Tom Brady on the TV show?
Yeah, I heard about it. The one where they say they were taking shots at Mr. Kraft.
Yeah. All right.
What's up, man?
All right. So it's all good, baby. Here's the thing is that you heard the big story there about Tom Brady on the TV show?
Yeah, I heard about it. The one where they say they were taking shots at Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, where he was coming out of something that wasn't in reality a rub and tug place, but he was coming out of something similar to that that was looks exactly almost like exactly what Robert Kraft, the place he was arrested in. Now, do you think that's funny?
Yeah, I actually do. I think it's hilarious. Now, granted, I think the fact that they use Tom in that is kind of disrespectful, but I do think it's hilarious, though.
Do you think Kraft would be, like how pissed do you think Kraft would be if he found, once he saw it?
Honestly, I don't think he was mad at all. I think Kraft laughed about it like everybody else, you know. I don't think he was mad at all.
You think he laughed about it? I mean, this is a guy that's been...
Yeah, I think Tom was more mad about it than Kraft was.
So you
know what I mean? Because they actually used Tom in the show. They didn't use Kraft. So, you know what I mean? So I think Tom was more mad about it than Kraft.
So you don't think Tom knew?
No, I don't think he knew. I don't think he realized what was going on until after he seen it all put together.
Well, he's pretty dumb then not to get that information.
At least ask. Yeah. Hey, what's this big green screen here for?
Yeah, like what is this going on?
Oh, they're gonna say, oh, you're just getting a massage. You're just leaving from the massage. You're just leaving from getting a massage. And you're going to say, oh, okay. You know,
but he didn't get a massage in the building. He got some DNA thing. All right, we agree to disagree. The guy who created the show said that he knew. But what are you going to do? Have you ever been to a parlor?
Of course. Of course I've been to one. Of course. I've been to a couple. But okay, what's up? What about it?
Because you live in a, basically a state where those are all over the place. Like down in Florida, those things are everywhere, aren't they?
You could even make a mistake in that state and go in somewhere and then realize, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. Well, I live in Orlando. So in Orlando, it's not any because of Disney and all that. But, you know, Tampa has a lot of them. Miami have a lot of them. You know, anywhere else I drive, it's a bunch of them. Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't walk in a couple of them.
Was it ever a surprise, or did you know each time you were going in that that's what was going to happen?
The first time I ever did it, it was a surprise. I was in college, you know, and I walked in thinking I'm finna just go get a quick massage, and it was a lot more than, you know, I thought I was paying for.
Now, did you? They even charge you, or are they so impressed by your physique? That they that it was on the house.
Oh no! They charge you before you even walk through the door.
That's like, unfair.
Before you even walk through the door, they charge you.
Did they? They do? I don't know anything about that. Now,
cut it out.
What are you even talking about?
I forgot your wife listening. My bad. You're right.
Believe me, this precedes my wife. But you know, you never know what you're gonna do. All right. So
how do they proposition you? Like, how do you know this is about to happen? Is there like a menu or how does it work?
Well, the first time I ever went. When I walked in, I was like, you know, I want a massage. They was like, okay, you know, what you want a massage? I was like, shit, I want everything. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, okay, you know, 150. I was like, oh, all right. So I gave her the 150. They took me back in the room. You know, then after that, you know, it was, well, I knew exactly what I was doing then. It wouldn't have been you did it.
I've heard rumors about that you lay down and then there, and you go, oh, my goodness, this is,
The crazy part is, though, when they came in, when the lady came in, she asked me to take off my clothes. So I was taking off my clothes and she like took me in another room and gave me a full rub down, bath, shower and everything. Like it was, I was like, oh, this is the best massage I ever had in my life. And until then, I realized. That she was cleaning me because of what was supposed to happen after that.
Yeah, then you realize it was going to get a lot better.
Yeah, I realized then that it was, you know, she gave me a massage, though.
Okay, you got that as well.
That's more than I can say.
Now, did you ever go to any of the ones in New England, like when you were here, when you lived in this area?
No, I didn't.
He has some standards.
You don't boo boo where you eat at. So, you know, I stayed away from anything that was close to where I work at.
That's a shirt. I don't boo boo where I eat at. All right. Now, Brandon, you saw the Patriots defense last night. Well, and Sam Darnold, who I think is going to be a good quarterback, was historically bad last night. There's a theory. Can a defense break a quarterback for good? Like, can a quarterback be so dominated by a defense that he's never the same again? Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mark Sanchez.
With the butt fumble game?
Remember when Mark Sanchez first got in the league? He was okay. He was decent. He had a good play-action game. He threw a good deep ball. But after he played, I want to say it was Baltimore that year. He played Baltimore, then he played us. But Baltimore hit him maybe 15 times that game. And after that, every time you showed him pressure, he was throwing the interception. You know, so, like, that was his problem. And after that game, his career seemed to go downhill.
Do you have to be hit? Because, like, Darnold was only hit a couple of times last night. Do you have to be hit, or is it just the appearance of the chance of getting hit?
It's just the appearance of it. Like, see, the thing that NFL players do is we watch a lot of film. So you might see one player on film that every time he hit somebody, it looked like it hurt. So you be in film, you be admiring his hits. So you thinking, like, he probably seen something Hightower did and was like, yo, man, I ain't getting hit by him. So anytime he felt somebody, he felt somebody from that side, he was thinking they were Hightower, so he'd throw it away. Like that, it's just the thought of getting hit by somebody that actually cares a lot of people.
All right, so they were talking yesterday about how Darnold was responsible for, you know, making adjustments at the line in terms of blocking schemes. But he's 22, and that was his 16th game. How much of that is on him, and how much of that is on the center?
I think it depends on the system. I don't know Adam Gates' system enough to, you know, to give a true answer on it. But I'm gonna guess that I'll leverage on him, because if you play for the Patriots, all of that would be on Tom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tom would have to tell you which way to slide. It's kind of hard. Like, you know how special the center got to be to see a corner, well, see the nickelback blitz from the outside? Like, he had to be super special to actually see all that. Now, he could call out the mic for you, but you still got to slide the line one way or the other because he can't see all that.
And he was last night saying, because he was mic'd up, Sam Darnold, that he was seeing ghosts because they were just coming out of nowhere in his mind. Was there a time that you remember that there was a guy that you played that, like, right away you knew he was running scared? Like, you had this guy's number, and you could tell almost immediately that this dude was so spooked, almost, like, right when the game started.
I told you, Mark Sanchez.
You do not like Mark Sanchez, yeah.
No, it ain't that I don't like Mark Sanchez. It's just that he's like the one person that I can remember that, like, at the beginning of the game, like, after one or two plays, I was like, oh, yeah, he's scared, man. We need to blitz him. Like, he was like one or two people. Like, he would get rattled easily.
All right, so do you think that Sam Darnold's ruined now?
No, I don't. I think he's going to end up having... Now, I can tell you this. If Adam Gates don't go in practice and run the exact same blitzes that the New England Patriots ran and give him 100 reps this week, yes, he'll be done, because it's a copycat lead. So now everybody is going to do that to him. You know, so he's going to have to learn quickly how to adjust to it. So if not, yeah, I think it's going to be done for him.
How many bad games do you have to lose your offense? Like, I mean, I know that yesterday was historically bad, but, you know, we had a good game before that. You heard Emmanuel Sanders talking out about Joe Flacco this week. How bad does it have to be for how long until there's a turn in the locker room?
I think it's based on the quarterback. Like, Joe Flacco honestly haven't earned anything in Denver. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for him to have three bad games when you come in and you get paid all this money, like, you kind of lose the locker room early. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's different for Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold could have a whole year of bad games, and people still going to be like, all right, man, he's young, he's still learning. Like, Baker right now, Baker Mayfield, I had, what, two good games out of the seven that they done played, like, and everybody's still saying, you know, he got the talent, he got this, he got that, he got this. But honestly, you, because he's young, you know what I mean, you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right.
The problem with the Flacco is that he's older.
Okay, well, you just made me think of something, Meek, when you mentioned Baker Mayfield. If you were still playing in the league, who's the quarterback that you would enjoy cracking the most?
I don't know.
Brady. Yeah, Brady. That would have been my guess.
Probably Brady. Probably. But no, you know. But you know, it's crazy though. Brady. Honestly, it wouldn't be Brady, because, you know, Brady is more funny to me. Like, the quarterback I would want to hit would be like Phillip Rivers or. or like, you know, one of the quarterbacks that just talk so much,
yeah.
and so cocky. Brady is more smooth. Like, Brady ain't as cocky as some of these other quarterbacks.
Yeah. He's like Rob Thomas, Santana featuring Rob Thomas.
Smooth, yes.
He is smooth.
That is
like Kurt. Like, when Kurt is on fire, like, that's the person I would love to hit. Like, because when he's playing good, like, he got this ugly look. He carries himself a little ugly way, man, and And, like, granted, you know, I love Kirk, but it's just something about him that makes me go,
You talking about Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Just something about his face?
Yeah, he's like a nerd. he's like a spastic nerd.
He kind of like Walt it, you know what I mean? When you see him, you just be like, fuck, you know?
Now, all right, so we're in negotiations with your management team about getting you up here.
So Kirk Cousins is the Waldick of quarterbacks.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, we're in negotiations with your people to get up here. Now, you would get, obviously part of this is you would get hotel rooms and everything. We'd put you up at a nice hotel. But could you see, like, you know, spending an evening at Wallach's house with the family and, you know, teaching his boys about life?
No, homie. Walt, you got to leave the house, Walt.
I know. I don't think Brandon's a suburbs type of guy with a fence in the backyard. I'm not seeing that.
I need to be in the city somewhere, man, you know?
I understand.
All right, so...
Don't worry about it. I'm going to take Walt to a rub and tug. I don't play with that no more. Well, Dick, I got you, brother. I got you.
Yeah, you don't play here anymore. That's right. You can get in and out.
Do whatever you want.
You can boo-boo where you eat, where you don't eat anymore. That's
yeah,
right.
You don't eat here anymore.
Yeah, I don't eat that no more, so I could take it then.
All right, so, John, you're in.
Sure.
Ain't you getting divorced anyway?
I think this is the one that's going to stick, Brandon. I'm not thinking we're going to get divorced on this one.
Yeah, John's been divorced before. He's already been through a very, very ugly divorce. So he doesn't want that to happen again.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not, man.
I can always point her in your direction if things go south.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Walt. I got you.
By the way, Walt, you could be a little louder with that pen.
If you get nervous. Sorry.
He's just in there, like just hitting this pen. Like, he's very uncomfortable, Brandon. You've made him very uncomfortable.
My bad, homie. I'm sorry. My bad.
You two have to go out. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
I think we should, bro. I think we should.
Are you saying we're different? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just, what I'm saying is, you know, we need to go out and have fun in the town, on the town, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I wish you could go out with Brandon in Atlanta, and he could make you so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that would be even better. Think about it. Let's go to Chocolate City, man. Let's go.
First of all, Wallach would love it. First of all, Wallach would love that, because Wallach loves big asses. Do you not, John?
Maybe.
So if you took him to Chocolate City in Atlanta, he'd be like a bull in a china shop.
I don't know, man. Well, it look like he'd be scared.
Would you be scared of Chocolate City with Brandon Merriweather?
Absolutely.
You would be?
No.
No, he wouldn't.
No.
Brandon, do you enjoy a large derriere?
Yeah. I do, man. You know, you gotta have the curves.
That's right.
I mean, the curves is what make you happen, right?
Yeah.
Well, amen, brother.
There you go.
You're speaking my language.
That's right. I love butts.
All right.
Can't lie.
Y'all cut it out, man. Well, they could be scared. No, well, they could be scared to go out with me in Boston, man.
No, he won't. No, he's actually not going to be scared to go out with you. He's going to go out with you. He's in his 50s. What does he care?
We're gonna find out. I'm gonna make sure I find out where the party's at. I'm gonna call some people up there and make sure I find out where the party at, man. We gonna do something about it.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Brandon, it's always a pleasure, sir. Hopefully we can get you up here. That would be fantastic. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a wonderful week. Hope a lot of business to your restaurants.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you Monday, which is 6 days from today.
I got you.
All right. Thanks, man.
See you, man.
Appreciate it. All right. There you go. Brandon Merriweather has been brought to you by DN Van Lines, moving your home or business. Call Felger's Movers and the top choice of local pro athletes and celebrities, an approved mover of the DOD, 851-MOVER. That's dnvanlines.com. I do agree with him. I think that that Kraft would have maybe thought that was funny what Brady did.
And to that I say, all of the money he spent on lawyers and time to make that go away would say otherwise.
How angry he reportedly was at Antonio Brown for that one tweet.
Well, listen, we can sit here and speculate all we want. But
I forgot we had this.
But really,
oh yeah,
who are we to talk about it? Because yesterday there was an insider that was on with Bert Breer and Mark Bertrand during the pregame. Maybe specifically brought in to break it down how it happens in Hollywood. And John and I happened to catch this, so we will have that for you very shortly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.com. Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher Lynch on 95, the Sports Hub.
This what y'all wanted for 98 miles? All right, man, you got it. Hey, well, listen, man, I'm only giving y'all a little bit, you know what I mean? Check me out. Let me give off the 98.5. You could have done better behind the wise guy. Touch and Rich will give you good sports, but your hip game suck and you ugly as f***. Touch a look like Al Bundy on crap, while Rich look like you been banged from the back. I got a new name for you. I bet you like that. It's the Lil Sloan Pack. Can you imitate that? Ha ha. I bet you like that. Strip club on the way. Wall dick, where you at? 898 miles, man. Y'all sure y'all want me to do this, man?
What about Tony Mack?
Let me get something straight. Tony, I heard you was gay.
Bertrand's next.
That can't be so. Mark Doublechin is the one that told me so. Ha ha.
Mike Felger.
On the pretty ass guy. I heard you was Tom Dick Jacket. Tell me now. Tell me now. Ha ha. I got a couple more people I could get, man. But you know what? I'm going to leave it at this. I did this for y'all. All right? Wall Dick, where you at? Check me out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up. This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every time I drink one of these avocado spinach smoothies, I start to smell. Ironically.
Is it kind of like the asparagus phenomenon?
No. It's just I start to smell like a skunk.
Yeah.
Apparently, I got my lab results back from the doctor.
You haven't looked at them yet?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
So the range for prostate cancer or prostate problems were within like reasonable levels is 0 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a 0.5. Come on, get out of here.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Very nice.
But yeah, he told me to stop drinking.
Did you laugh at him?
Stop?
Yeah, I don't like this new doctor. Like, my old doctor, like, when I had similar numbers, would be like, all right, dude, like, chill out for a little while. This guy's very... I told you how long he spent on the balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You said like, I don't want... I'm not going to go to this doctor again. Because you need kind of, like, a cool doctor that, like, gets it. That's like, all right. Because then I looked up my numbers, and they weren't bad. And I'm like, this seems like a very, like... like a huge leap to make.
So like, he said just stop drinking. Not
he's
regulate.
Like, lose 40 pounds and stop drinking.
Wow. That's
which I'm 215.
I see. I don't understand how someone's 6'2", they would want to be less than 180.
So like he wants you to be 170.
Like you'd be... 180, but okay. You don't understand what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying 40 pounds for the effect. But I mean, my Lord. You'd think I was popping off there with, like, you know, 150 ATL or something. I'm like, what the hell?
Now, what was just fake? Did you look at your liver? And
oh, yeah, it's liver enzymes, everything, baby. I got the whole thing.
Yeah.
I got the whole nine. But I mean, give me a break. My last doctor was cool.
Why'd you leave your last doctor?
He could retired.
Oh, okay.
Because he'd be like, all right, like, come back. Like, nothing's big. He's just like, come back in like 6 months to a year. I mean, obviously, that's another thing. There's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when they say something like he's like, oh, yeah, your liver function's a little high. Like stop drinking. And you're like, moderation.
I like to drink.
Yeah. I don't have hepatitis or cirrhosis. You son of a gun. All right, well, listen.
Oh my, I'm already getting the photoshops of Kirk Cousins with John Wolak's face in the middle of it.
That's fantastic.
Now I won't be able to look at Kirk Cousins the same way again.
All right, so here's the deal, is that a lot of us have been speculating, and just going by the creator of the show's word, that he couldn't believe that Tom Brady agreed to come out of what appeared to be a massage parlor, very similar to Robert Kraft's. He said that the scene, this is to satisfy everyone, the scene was written years ago. Tom Brady agreed a year ago, and then they flew out to Boston and they did it on a green screen. We've had people in the business explain why. Cost-cutting measures, things of that nature.
Or to completely change the place he was going to be walking out of.
Right.
And to trick him.
And to make it so people never want to work with him again and all these things.
I do wonder why he hasn't commented on what Brady said.
Because he probably is like, I don't want to screw the guy. Like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Like, Brady's obviously, this is being a much bigger deal than I thought it would be. But I also think that the guy's like, well, he's going to ruin his reputation just to get people to watch this particular show. I mean, the guy wants to do things in the future, I would imagine. And I don't think pulling a fast one over on a guy doing a cameo for your show is a way to do it. In fact, I dismiss that argument. I don't see the other
side
of the argument.
I think there's gray area. I think they said he was going to be walking out of a clinic or a place.
He said,
you're going to be walking out of a place that genetically engineers you.
No, he never specified what it would look
like.
He said that it was a massage parlor to Brady and that he couldn't believe Brady said yes. He would just assume that Brady was going to say no. So every modicum of information we have is that Brady knew. Whatever. That's not the point. The point is, A, people defending that he didn't know is funny to me. But B, not all of us are Hollywood wheelers and dealers.
I've not heard this.
Did you hear it?
I said I've not heard
okay.
this.
So yesterday, John, you were hearing this as well.
Yep.
On my way to a basketball clinic with my son or coming back. And you got Bertrand doing a great job. You got Breer in there. And Bertrand was very vocal and had a logical, actually the only... This is as close to a fact as we can get that Brady obviously knew what was going on.
See, I don't think that's a fact.
There is no information that counters that.
He said it was in front of a green screen.
Yeah,
that's insinuating
no...
he didn't know what was going to be behind it.
Rich, if you're acting in that scene and your reputation is so important to you, it's got to be squeaky clean, your future business depends on it, why would you not ask?
Or why would you not say you didn't know?
Because they told him.
Then why would you say you didn't know?
That he didn't know what was behind him?
Yeah.
Well, he said it was a green screen.
No, but why would he say,
I didn't know what was going to be behind him?
Make it your business to understand what it is you're involved with.
So why would the producer also risk his career and become a guy that screws over his actors?
Because you've got a ton of people talking about it. It's a huge story
now. No, but have you heard about a guy doing a major project that's done something like that before?
I haven't heard of anything like this before. I've never heard of anything like this before.
But someone doing a satirical piece?
Well, I've heard of people being surprised how movies turned out.
Yeah, but that's editing. This is, forget it. I don't want to hear from you anymore. You're driving me insane with this. You're trying too hard. You should enter this Patriots contest.
You debate, but he debates you every morning, so it's not the same.
But this isn't a debate. There's no facts on the other side.
Why would you say? Why would you say I filmed it in front of a green screen?
Because he did.
I know, and that is essentially him saying I didn't know what was going to be behind me.
Why didn't he just instead of essentially say it?
Well, because nobody asked him, and I'm pissed off at that. That's the one question.
Then why did the producer say that he knew?
Because he wanted people to watch his show.
Then wouldn't it be funnier if he said he didn't know?
Did he say he knew it was a massage parlor?
Yes.
See, I don't think he said that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And even if he did, I think there's a benefit to him getting people to tune.
Sure.
I watched it because of that.
So it would ruin his reputation as a producer and a director. And
his reputation when he's got like 40 followers on Twitter.
He just made a major Netflix show with a major star.
And now it's a huge hit. And a lot of it is because of the Tom Brady scene.
Of course.
Agreed?
No.
It's got more press than they would have ever imagined because of the, it's on Good Morning America. And then it's everywhere.
And then it will ruin his reputation. And that's great. And by the way, Brady could sue him.
Not if he was vague. Not if he was vague.
Okay. All right. Whatever. What's funny is I even had to look at Twitter yesterday and people were saying that you were carrying the Patriots' water, which at least gave me some sense of humanity. However, back to the point, which is none of us are as Hollywood as Mr. Christopher Gaspar.
That is true.
Now, did you IMDb him?
Yeah, not, there's nothing.
Okay, there's no credits.
No.
But you know, when you're a columnist for the Globe,
yep.
I mean, one does get around. I mean, Shaughnessy was in Caligula in JFK. He was in.
He does kind of look like that statue with the curly hair.
Yes, yes. It was like Caligula's Frankenstein.
That's a great pull. I never would have put that together.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, he was the stand-in for the guy in what was the Brooke Shields movie, Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Christopher Atkins.
Yes, Christopher Atkins. Yeah. That's right. He was younger, the stand-in. Sure.
Yep. He was the greatest American hero.
William Cox.
A stand-in.
The greatest American Shaughnessy.
Walking
he
out
was
air.
In a Who cover band, and people couldn't figure out what was going on. All right. So anyway, so here we go. Here is Christopher Gaspar breaking it down how it goes down in Hollywood.
We are going to sit here and believe that they went through with this and Brady didn't make the connection. That's like stretching. I mean, that's just... Brady would have to be dumb, and if you're claiming that, you're claiming Brady is dumb. Because
well, not dumb, but I mean, he's insulated himself to such a degree with yes people around him that no one would say anything, and he's created this false bubble of endless positivity
Chris,
around him.
I
mean, you know that.
That's true.
That's a real problem. He's filtered out anything that could be remotely negative. So it's like,
wait a second. He surrounded himself with yes men and people to protect them, and that's why he did this.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You don't say. My bodyguard beat the crap out of me.
His people and the people around him are not even allowed to think that way.
That agency that he hired, right? WME?
Yeah. CA.
So who handled this, though? Because he hired WME this past year to handle this type of thing. Where the hell are they?
I don't know.
Do you think he was trying to take a shot at someone or make a joke about Robert Kraft?
Okay, so here's the
thing. Do you think that was real?
I don't think he organized a shot at Robert Kraft.
No, not organized, but even looked at it and said, someone might think I'm taking a shot at the owner.
The other possibility here is that the producer screwed him and put him in front of a green screen and he didn't know what was coming. I know the way, I've got like a sort of an elementary understanding of the way these things work. That's a fairly small, tight community, like people who run those shows and everything else.
Yes.
And like it just wouldn't be worth it for one day of like viral video for them to get the reputation of having screwed someone that way.
Why not? He's not an actor. It's just a cameo.
No, because
there's a million shows out there. This one has to get notability.
Because if you're any other celebrity, then you're not going to do cameos. Like, that word gets
out. How about the fact that the producer...
Why would you... That would not be worth it to them.
The interview with the producer was published...
Chris, come on. Chris, are you really telling me...
Did you read the interview from Friday?
I did,
but here's what I'm saying. Like, look, I have two siblings that are in the entertainment industry. This guy's making a cameo. You think Tom Brady's sitting down at the table read for this show? No, they hand him a couple...
But someone's going to read that script for him.
But they hand him a couple of pages, and it says, Tom Brady walks out of spa. So it doesn't say seedy spa and a spa and seedy strip mall or, you know, Asian day spa. It literally probably said spa, colon.
So do you think that
and if you're Tom and Giselle who go to spas, but they're thinking it's like...
Did the producer
somewhere
say,
they get Botox. They're not thinking it's
The producer say on the record, though, like that he ran it by Brady at the end? And like,
well, what the producer said was based on the script that they say were sent to Brady and his people, maybe not to Tom Brady himself, but his representatives and were involved in this, that they thought once the Robert Kraft incident happened, they thought he was going to bail. They said, oh, that's it. He's going to bail. He's not going to do the scene now.
Yeah, because it probably said, again, spa, colon. Again, you guys are like, he's like Kit Harington from Game of Thrones sitting at the head of the table for the table read. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I got all this dialogue.
And by the way.
Okay, it's outside of a seedy Asian day spa, outside of a seedy strip mall. Huh. It probably just says spa, colon on it.
I don't know. I tend to think that, like.
All right, well, then he went into how a table reads and all things of that nature.
Okay.
But he was like, you know, he wasn't at the table read.
Okay.
He didn't get the script. He's got two siblings in the entertainment industry.
I thought he was going to go into the deep detail about it. Let me tell you kids how it's done.
He sort of Tinseltown. Did. He sort of did. Right. A little bit.
Tinseltown Gasper.
Yeah, Tinseltown Gasper. That's not how it works, baby. You're not at the table, Reed.
Is Shaughnessy more of a Christopher Atkins or more of a William Cat? I can't figure it
out. Cat. I go Cat.
I got to go William Ames? Cat. Ooh. Charles in Charge, William. No, that his fro is too loose. Like William Cat was a nice
William
fro.
Cat, late 70s, early 80s.
Well, yep. How about how about a young Willie Ames, like uptight dad?
Willie Ames, I don't know who that is.
No, just his uptight dad.
Oh, okay. Willie Ames' father? Yeah, the fro would be a little bit tighter then. Yeah.
No, he's got a loose fro to show. How about Mr. Vargas in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
How about the guy that Wallach likes, the best friend of the single guy, Jonathan Silverman?
What's his name? Slotnick.
Joey Slotnick.
My man.
Joey Slotnick will pop up in something a lot every now and again, and you're like, oh, boy, that's a shame.
He was in Too Big to Fail. That was a big HBO movie. Come on now.
Yeah. Joey Slotnick.
By the way, when we get back, I was given something from Mike Lockhart, and this is when Sam Darnold was in the draft. I have the Arlads profile. You know, the guy who breaks down all the things.
Do I ever?
All right. You have to hear what they say about Sam Darnold. As much as everyone's giving this guy credit, Arlads crapped all over Sam Darnold and basically described everything that happened last night.
Yikes. All right. We will have that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How were you guys able to rattle him? He said at one point on the ESPN broadcast that felt like he was seeing ghosts.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the boogeyman. It's real.
You talked about the continuity of your defense. We're up front together.
Sorry. He really said that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, how were you guys able to rattle him?
That's crazy for him to say that. It just that makes it real. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Someone's coming down a little bit after that. All right. Our lads. Dan Shonka is a guy who is down with Mike Lockhart. We usually have him on before the draft. He has a history in scouting with NBA or NFL teams. I'm sorry, and you say that he was very critical of Sam Darnold.
He was, and if you watched that game last night, I mean, Darnold just historically bad. It is the worst passer rating, the lowest by a quarterback against the Patriots in Belichick's 20 seasons with a 3.6. And I went back and I kind of looked to put in perspective how historically bad it was. And it is just above the Nathan Peterman debacle, which, of course, you remember from 2 years ago or 1 year ago, I forget. And then when he was with Buffalo. And then, of course, believe it or not, we might forget about how when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, he had a game where he had a 0.0 passer rating. He was just awful that season. Remember how bad he was?
Yeah.
And then he ended up, you know, winning the Super Bowl that year. So what the hell do we know? So Sam Darnold, when you take a look at what he did last night, you think, okay, well, maybe that's an anomaly. Maybe this is something that no one truly expected.
Well, it is an anomaly based on his play in the NFL, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played that much.
Well,
the
last four games of last season, I believe he had the highest quarterback rating in the NFL.
In the final four games?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He'd been hurt, and then he came back. And then he played very well. He played okay against the Bills, and he played very well against the Cowboys. So at least five of his 16 games were well above average.
So the guy from our lads we had all the time, he studies all this stuff. I mean, he makes these binders worth of material. He's basically one of these people. He does it for a living. And the profile for Sam Darnold, I mean, it is what he does for a living.
I don't know if that's what he does. I don't think you can sustain an existence based on doing our lads, but it's part of, he does get paid for it.
Okay. And he wrote on the profile, this is back from before the draft, he said, really struggled with turnovers and bad decisions in 2017. He actually could have had several more interceptions, but balls were dropped or just batted down. You win games by avoiding losing them, and Darnold turned the ball over 37 times in 26 games.
Yeah, a lot of trouble fumbling in college.
He said, not smooth or polished in the pocket. Footwork is awkward. We saw a little bit of that last night.
That's not true.
Careless and sloppy with the ball.
That's not true.
Throws into double coverage on a regular basis. I would think throwing into double coverage is better than just throwing it into the stands.
He is, no, it's not.
I'd much rather throw it in the stands. No. You don't turn the ball over that way.
He was throwing it to nobody
last night. You don't turn the ball over that way. Right. Now, granted, he threw the ball, I mean, he turned the ball over five times by himself last night, but it could have been a lot worse if he tried to jam the ball into double coverage.
By the way, he's praised for his footwork. His ability to escape pressure and throw on the run is something that he's lauded for.
So all the scouting reports we saw on Darnold up until the draft, you remember all those quarterbacks at the top had one fatal flaw. Darnold had all the tools, but he was, as Dan Shonka just said, threw the ball into double coverage, tried to force balls into places they didn't belong.
And he had a huge problem hanging on to the ball.
Yes.
He fumbled a great deal.
That was the big knock on Darnold. Had all the tools, but didn't use them appropriately.
And you know that into this day, that his ability to throw on the run and make those throws, which he could not do last night.
Decision-making can be altered. Yes. There are certain things that cannot be altered, like Josh Allen's inability to complete passes. That will never be altered.
He's
been bad for 7 years.
Or Baker Mayfield's inability to see over the line of scrimmage.
He continues, many of his receivers had to make great catches in the open field to keep drives going. There appeared to be a lot of miscommunication with the receivers in 2017. Inconsistent accuracy will hold the ball too long in the pocket at times. Question if he has the feel for the rush. Well, he did yesterday because he got rid of the ball.
But this is all stuff that he's praised for.
Well, not by Dan Shonka.
But in the pros, that's his big thing.
Struggles with a functional quarterback aptitude. At times, he appears to be playing intramural football with a disregard for the fundamentals.
That goes along with the things I just told you about at USC. That was the knock on him when he declared.
He's playing Sandlot, baby.
Yes. Forces too many balls into traffic, lacks space awareness. And that is from the draft, before the draft.
Darnold, the last four games of last year, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. 1 game over 300 yards passing.
What were his quarterback ratings?
Quarterback ratings? Do they have the... here we go. 83.7, 100, 128.4. That was in a loss to Green Bay. And then they got crushed by the Patriots, remember, at the end of last year. 74.6. Right,
Aren't good passer ratings.
He had two really good games, one mediocre and one bad.
Yeah, so maybe it wasn't the last four games. Maybe it was the first 3 games off of injury. But there was a span there where he had the best passer rating in football. Are we going to sit here and we're going to say Sam Darnold's a bad quarterback now?
I'm just saying that last night was
at the moment
really bad.
Yes. Will he get better? Yes.
Well, then on Monday of last week, we were talking about what a great quarterback
he had a great game the day before.
You can't do that with a young quarterback.
I can do whatever I want sitting here.
So one game. Against a historic defense, you're closing the book on him.
I didn't say that.
I mean, he just gave you a bunch of mediocre games.
I didn't say that.
How are those games mediocre?
Okay, who played better at the end of the year, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold, maybe statistically. Mayfield. How do you know?
Because Baker Mayfield had a pretty good year last year.
All right, I'll look at Baker Mayfield's final 4 games.
I would bet that Baker Mayfield had better numbers.
All right.
Let me get the Baker Mayfield numbers up here.
And I hate Baker Mayfield.
All right, last 4 games of last year, he had 3, 6, 8, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His ratings in order: 126.9, 83.8, 121.9, 79.1. His passer rating for the season was 93.7, which is, I think, 14 points higher than Darnold.
Okay, so
he had 2 really good games, slightly better the last 4 games of the year than Darnold was.
Okay, slightly. Fine, fantastic.
He had 2 really good games. Darnold only had 1.
No, Darnold had 2.
Well, he had 1 passer rating was 100, 1 was 120, and Mayfield had 2 in the 120s.
Okay.
As I said, slightly better.
Right. I would take Darnold 1,000 times over Mayfield. He played terrible last night. But I would like to give the Patriots defense some sort of credit.
No. They were excellent.
I mean, they screwed them up, and they outcoached Gase, and the defense for the Jets sucked. The special teams for the Jets sucked, and the Patriots played a great defense, and that was a dominant win, and that is against, I believe, a good quarterback, and they made him look terrible, which is, but I mean, this idea that everyone was saying how good Sam Darnold was, Breer, Brinson, everyone was saying how great, how good Sam Darnold was, and how everyone believed he was going to be a good quarterback, and then he goes out and craps himself against an historically good defense.
Who did better, Luke Falk or Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold was asked to do 5,000 different things, Rich. If you say that, that's an ignorance.
No, because they were bragging about the one thing about that offense is that they simplify. They ask you to do one thing. That's what they were saying on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, but that's not true. He has to read defenses and
so
things.
So does Luke Falk.
Luke Falk doesn't have to do anything but hand the ball to Le'Veon Bell. The idea that Luke Falk played better against the Patriots is was asked to do anything remotely like Sam Darnold was is ridiculous.
Everybody played better against the Patriots this year.
You,
than Sam Darnold.
You are an
they did.
Absolute idiot.
They
if
did.
You think that Luke Falk was asked to do anything in that
did
game.
Did he play better against the
numbers
Patriots?
Numbers-wise, he was better. He was.
Okay.
Numbers-wise, he was better.
Do you have a rudimentary understanding of football?
Was Rosen's numbers better?
All right, hang on.
Well, yet everyone's going to be better.
They said everyone was better.
Do you have a rudimentary understanding of the football? John,
yes.
Do you have a rudimentary understanding
of
football?
Obviously, Darnold knows the offense better. He's not a scrap heap guy. They asked him to do more than Luke Falk did.
He played like crap yesterday, yes. But I just like that in one game, all of a sudden, he's the worst quarterback of all time.
No, all I'm saying is that Luke Falk played the Patriots better. Because you're saying, give the Patriots defense some credit. It's the same defense that Luke Falk played against.
That is a rudimentary idea of how football is played. I mean,
Josh Rosen.
Just compare apples to apples,
yes,
and it's the same defense.
Of course,
Luke Falk played and
right.
Sam Darnold, who was better.
Yeah. That's apples to
it
apples.
It is, same defense.
Yes, Rich, that's a keen insight.
Josh Rosen, in a relief effort, because again, he didn't start that game against the Patriots. Fitzmagic did.
Yeah.
But in a relief effort, 7 of 18, 97 yards, one interception, 3 sacks, passer rating 33.8.
Okay, right, that beats the 3.6 that Sam Darnold
had. Way better.
It's 10
it's
times
not even
the better
close.
Absolutely. So Josh Rosen is officially 10 times
that's
the player
that's absolutely
that Sam Darnold is.
That is absolutely correct.
That's how I see it, Rich.
Hey, Super Pats fans, give your defense a pat on the back. Jesus. All of a sudden, the defense sucks, and Sam Darnold's the worst quarterback that ever existed.
Yep.
Find Peyton Manning's worst game his rookie year.
Will do. I'm on it.
All right. We'll be right back. I can't believe I have to defend stupid Sam Darnold when the Jets crapped themselves. You should be all happy. Instead, you're attacking Sammy D, which, by the way, Zolak called him Sammy D, which is stealing from me. I'm going to sue him.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.